Now, it's my pleasure to say a very good morning to Andy Durratt. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Jan. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, Andy, you've got Waiheke Event Hire. Tell us something about that.
Well, it's a new business that we've just started on the island. It's taken a bit of a year of thinking and a bit of market research around the requirements for the wedding and event hireage business on Waiheke. I think we have an opportunity to fill a gap in that market and provide local rental equipment for those types of events without having to ship them in from Auckland and the costs associated to that, and obviously all of the other negatives about importing or hauling stuff onto the island and taking it off again with regards to the fuel and everything else used to do that. So we've spoken to a lot of people around the island, saw that there was certainly a gap in the market at a level, and have decided to enter that. So we've just made the decision at the end of January. And it's been a pretty hectic 8 weeks of websites and buying stuff and training and getting all this stuff on the islands. But now we've got two very big marquees. Two average-sized marquees that can be joined together to make a big marquee, so we can seat anything from 60 to 180 people at an event under a very, very flexible canvas.
Yeah, I think in the Gulf News it said that these marquees didn't need to be on level ground. How does that work?
Well, basically, if you imagine they're a big sheet of flexible fabric or stretchy fabric, and what we do is we peg that down to the ground, and then we progressively stick poles into the stretch fabric and push it up, and we can create some very interesting shapes. We can go over swimming pools, we can go over hedges, we can come off buildings, and we can also be freestanding. So they're very, very flexible, and again, that's something that we don't have locally on Waiheke as a freeform marquee to really enable certain spaces that might not have been able to be used previously to become good spaces, weatherproof spaces for events and weddings.
Right. So, of course, the wedding season was in full swing when you started.
Yep.
And I guess it still is, or it's tailoring off now after Easter.
Yes, it's tailing off now. Certainly, it's very much slowing down. So, we were really trying to make sure that we had an opportunity to get the tents up at least a couple of times before the end of the season. So, we can help the locals understand what the tents are about, but also just so we're ready for next season. All the bookings for the next season and next year are all starting to happen now, so it's great. About being a presence on the island and available to be able to work with the other wedding planners and the people within the wedding industry on Waiheke, which there's a few of them now.
Yeah, yeah. So I get it. Yeah. So is it just the marquees that you're providing?
Oh, no, we provide tables, chairs, linen, lighting. So basically all the infrastructure required to be able to host an event. So we work very closely with the wedding planners and some of the other event locations on the island, where we'll just provide whatever it is they need for whatever occasion.
Right. Yeah. Were you doing this in Auckland?
No. I've got a very varied background, actually. I don't know how you'd describe my work history. Checkered, I suppose, would be it. I've always been in work, but it's been a varied and splendid thing. I've been everything from a builder to a contract cleaner to a cycle courier in London. Whilst in London, I got into computers, and so I've been both a technical and a sales resource inside the computer industry, and most recently have been selling enterprise software to large New Zealand businesses. But I'm like every true Waihetian, I've been here now I don't know what I can call myself that now, but I've been here 10 years, and I'm really looking for an opportunity to spend more time on the island with my family and obviously run a local business, which is something that I've always wanted to do, but never seen a real business or a market opportunity to do that, which I think the Waiheke Event Hire has now provided me an opportunity to do that.
Right, so was this your brainchild?
I'd love to say it was all mine, but like all good ideas, it was my partner Debbie's. she's always been on at me about living out some of my bright ideas. I have a lot of them, and actually doing something about it. So this was the first time I think we saw a real opportunity to provide a service to the island and provide a service to people that want to get married on the island.
Yeah. And there are a lot of them.
Well, yeah, I think there's all sorts of numbers flying around, but there is approximately 650 weddings a year, and it's a tremendously large number of people coming onto Waiheke to get married. That obviously represents a huge cash injection into the local economy, and And again, this is something that we're hoping to do at Waiheke Event Hire, is to be able to keep some of those dollars on the island in the shape of, you know, the services and the support that we get from local resources.
Mm. Yes, because I guess a lot of people were bringing things in from the mainland.
Yeah, that still happens, and indeed, you know, our marquees won't suit every occasion. You know, there are traditional marquees that look great on flat ground, and some people want a floor there, you know, and they want a more traditional approach to it, and there'll always be a market for those tents. But certainly, what we provide now with our tents is a much more flexible approach to the other places that you could use these for. As a case in point, we did a beach ceremony down on Oniroa last weekend. We were able to get the tent up and down inside 4 hours. You know, we had the ceremony down there, and it was a very lovely environment. You know, it didn't take up the whole beach. We were on and off in a very quick time period. So I think, and then on the flip side of that, then there's also other locations like people's houses, where they want to come off over a deck, or they want to, you know, have an event at their house, but they don't have a flat piece of land to put a cover over. These tents can certainly come off different structures and be built over different terrain, which makes them very versatile.
Are they a New Zealand invention?
They are, actually. The ones that, so I did a lot of research, actually, in the different options in the tent market. Obviously, some of the criteria were that we needed to get them up and down quickly, and we needed to be flexible, and we needed to be able to have various options available to them. And I found a company called Stretch Tents, who are a New Zealand run company, and the owner of that organization has designed the fabric himself. He's using two different fabrics that get fused together. One is a stretchy fabric, one is a memory fabric, so that pulls the tent back into its shape after it's been used. The fabric is imported into New Zealand, but it was of a New Zealand design, and it's stitched in the local sales makers down in the viaduct. But the design and all of the rest of the infrastructure to build the tent all come from local suppliers here in New Zealand.
It's great.
It is. It is. It's great stuff.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it is totally waterproof?
Absolutely. So very versatile shapes. So it is completely waterproof, windproof. Like any marquee, windproof, I suppose you have to say that. It's got all the certifications and regulation requirements for fire retardants and wind speeds and all that kind of stuff. So it is, as far as I'm aware, the only stretch marquee product that has actually got all of those local certifications on it.
Yeah, that's something that you know, the average person like me wouldn't even think about, all those safety aspects, you know, the fire and all of that sort of thing that you've got to take into account.
Yep. Well, I
suppose you've got to have a certificate from the council or something to say that it's a safe structure.
Absolutely. To put it up on council land, most certainly. There are regulations that you need to meet, and we can meet all of those. And we've done a lot of work with councils throughout New Zealand. So not myself, but the other members of the Stretch Tents community have done a large number of council events, whether they're concerts, or whether they're public events, whether they're things like local sporting meets and things like that.
Right. Do you have a general certificate, you know, for other places, like, you know, private homes or whatever it is?
That's covered by your own liability insurances, right, and insuring that. But obviously we operate to the highest standard. New Zealand has got the highest requirements globally for these types of temporary structures, and I'm pleased to say that these products fully meet those requirements.
Okay. Well, that's helpful to know. It's reassuring to know.
Well, it is. Having done my research, I don't think I'd be very comfortable going trying to do it any other way, I suppose. It's always good to err on the side of safety, because these are basically big pieces of fabric that have a life of their own in the wind if you're not very, very careful and very astute at how you put them up.
Mm, yep. Exactly. Yeah. We're talking to Andy Durratt from Waiheke Event Hire, and you're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, your community radio station. Andy, talking about the wind, and I think, did you have to do a course about before you were able to put this marquee up?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I spent some time in Tauranga about 2 weeks ago at the headquarters of Stretch Tents. We put up a large number of tents in a very short period of time, so it's done my guns no end of good. I've had a good workout. And indeed, the last that we'd done on the island, we had the chief rigger from Stretch Tents come up and work with me on both of those structures. And so I'm now qualified to put them up freestanding, and the next phase of the training is going to be taking place over the next couple of months, where we're starting to take them off structures and do some other interesting things with them. So that will all be under the guidance of Stretch Tents and the training program that they provide with the product.
Right. Do you have a website?
I do. It's www.waihekieventhire.co.nz, and you'll be able to see some great images of the tents and what they look like and what you can use them for, along with all of the other products and services that we offer through Waiheke Event Hire. Right. At that website.
That's great. Now, you've come up with an interesting promotion.
We have.
Called Win Your Same-Sex Wedding on Waiheke Island.
We have indeed.
So, how does that work?
Well, I suppose we have to go back to the bill that's hopefully about to be passed. We wanted to help celebrate the passing of that event. I think it's a significant, one of the most significant civil rights issues that is now finally being addressed. It's been a long time coming, and both my partner Debbie and myself, and of course our partners in this, which is Waiheke Island Wedding and Events, one of the wedding planners, Jan Vernon, on the island. We really want to celebrate this as a milestone in New Zealand human rights, and provide everybody with a fair chance to acknowledge and recognise marriage within a loving, caring relationship. So part of that, one of the things we really wanted to do to help celebrate that was perhaps provide, you know, the opportunity for a same-sex couple to have a ceremony free of charge. So we've providing the ceremony tent, some organisation support services or wedding planning services, a bit about dressing the tent, making it look nice, chairs obviously. We're looking for a marriage celebrant to come and join in with us as well to celebrate it, and we're going to look to provide everything required for a same-sex marriage ceremony here on Waiheke. And it's pretty easy to enter. You just go to our website. There's the first banner page on the homepage. Just click on that will take you through to the entry form, and it's really we're just asking couples to just tell us in 200 words or less why they're really desperate to get married and what it means to them.
Right. And do they have to be Waihekian?
No, it's open to anybody, in actual fact. We've just released the press releases through a couple of the wedding magazines here in New Zealand. We're in the process of trying to get the word out via social media, but also through the gay and lesbian community throughout New Zealand. We really welcome anybody to get involved. We'd love a Waihekian to win it, of course, but it's going to be a properly run process. It's all been set up properly. The terms and conditions of the competition are available on the website, so we just welcome anybody to enter, and of course we'll be announcing that very shortly after the bill's announced who the winner is. So we're looking forward to being able to provide that, and also of course that's hopefully going to raise some more awareness for Waiheke and the wedding venue that it is, and potentially try and drum up some more interest in people coming to Waiheke to get married. I think it's great for the community that it happens. Mm. It's a very nice thing for Waiheke to be known for. Mm. It's a great, as I'm sure a lot of people agree, some people don't, but it's a great thing to celebrate. It's been a long time coming, and it's something we really want to...
Mm. That's a good initiative.
No, thank you.
There is there's one thing that is a little bit up in the air over all of this, if the bill is passed, and that is, where does it leave people who are currently marriage celebrants or currently civil union celebrants? Because if you're a civil union celebrant, you've got to have a marriage celebrant's licence to conduct a marriage, and vice versa.
Yep.
They're not interchangeable. Mm-hmm. Whereas I would expect that if this bill goes through... they'd be pretty much the same. I mean, I can't see there would be any reason for the difference. I haven't seen anything on that. I've got to declare here that I'm a civil union celebrant.
Yep.
And I haven't had anything from the department to explain what the implications are for the change, when it happens. So it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Well, hopefully logic will win out.
Right.
Common sense won. Exactly. Not always the way.
No.
Now, I suppose it is. I suppose at the moment it still feels like a bit of work in progress because there's still bits that are being added to it and it still hasn't passed its final reading. And I'm sure there's a raft of other stuff that's going to come out at the end of it, which is all of the clarification on those things.
Mm.
Hopefully it's a level and fair playing field and it's an easily understood process. So.
Yes, well, the front page of the Herald this morning, I just had a quick look at it. I haven't read it properly, but it was talking about the change in to the form when you go to apply for a licence, for instance. They're doing away with words like bride and groom and husband and wife and coming up with generic kind of things, which is all a bit odd. I think we were talking before you came on here that maybe it should be a discretionary thing. You know, if you want to be known as a bride and you want to be known as a groom, well, that's up to you. But
I suppose
let's see how that goes.
Well, hopefully, cross fingers. Yeah, having dealings with various bits of government stuff and contractual stuff in the past myself and various forms. It's always the case, isn't it? One form. Grey areas, which is a bit unfortunate. It'd be nice to be able to put what you think you are on your form. I think that would be celebrating the diversity and the human rights issues, which is, you are who you are. But, it's I suppose we, as we discussed earlier, that's an interesting one.
Yes, and, during the ceremony, when the legal bits are all done and the couple are a couple, do you say, I now pronounce you a couple?
Yeah, person one and person two joined together in marriage. Who knows?
Yes.
It's a shame that it's not as personal, but maybe that's just a reflection on the times and the fact that, some of the traditional ways we look at and call ourselves might be changing over time. And having said that, it'd be nice to be able to call yourself whatever it is that you are.
And it could well be that this is just the start. And because they're as much in the, well, the bureaucrats are as much in the dark as anybody as to how to handle it.
Yeah.
And that gradually it will sort itself out.
Well, I think it's great that things like that aren't stopping the bill being passed, though, because I think, fundamentally it's important that, we get equal rights for everybody in New Zealand. I think this is, a very, very critical step in the right direction. And, I'm sure you feel the same. It's more important to get the level ground in place and maybe worry about the detail a bit later, but hopefully you'll be allowed to change some of those terms to suit the ceremony and the people getting married and logic will out.
That's right. Well, I mean, the way things stand at the moment, it's really the only bit that you've got to be rigid about is the formal part where they sign things and you make a public declaration.
Yeah.
But everything else is really up to the couple how they want things done.
Yeah. Yep.
So, hopefully it will all work out like that.
Yep, absolutely. And hopefully it means that, there's an increased percentage of the community at large coming to Waiheke to get married and enjoying what a great venue this place is. I mean, it's a lovely place.
It is indeed. Now, you're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, and Waiheke Radio, of course, is your community radio station. We're talking to Andy Durratt of Waiheke Event Hire and the promotion that they've got going at the moment to win your same-sex wedding on Waiheke Island, which is a great initiative, and it's a good way of getting Waiheke out there and increasing, as you said, increasing the perception of Waiheke as a venue for weddings.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been on the island, Andy?
I've been here just over 10 years now.
Right. And what brought you here?
What brought me here? That's a very interesting question. I'd moved back from London with my partner. She's English, and we moved back to central Auckland. And we like going to the beach, and we didn't come back from a global city like London to live in another city. We had friends living on the island and came to meet them, and we just saw this place and fell in love with it pretty much on our first trip. And at that point, we were looking to move and just thought, what the heck, it's a great place with great beaches and a great place to bring up kids. And so we made the decision to move and come over. The very good friend of mine said a very interesting thing about Waiheke. He's the guy that the reason we came onto the island. He said, Waiheke is not a place you just kind of end up. you've got to make a decision to come here. And I think that's the best thing about the community and the diversity within the community, is that everybody that is on Waiheke has made that decision. They've had to get past that mental block that some people have about the ferry, and it's a great melting pot of diversity, and it's we've thoroughly enjoyed our 10 years here, and now we're really pleased to be part of the business community as well as the living community on the island.
Yeah, well, you're also part of the sporting community, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. I've been playing for Waiheke United for quite some time. I've kind of retired recently due to my body not being not being up to the task anymore. But I have been coaching junior football for the last 5 years at least. We adopted the whole of football program that was set up by the New Zealand Football Federation, and had some really great successes. Training the First Kicks and Fun Football kids on Saturday mornings down at the sports park, and this year I've just stepped out of that, and I'm now managing the Waiheke ninth grade Honey Badgers, which is the name of my kids' teams. My son's in the team, and we've got 11 kids that live on the island that get out and play home and away every Saturday.
And they did really well last week, didn't they?
We got a draw. Which was a good start. It's the first league, and we like the way these things work. It's always a little bit difficult with the grading, but no, they did well, and they performed really admirably. We went down. We lost 4-3 today, unfortunately, but we scored three good goals, and there's a lot of promise in that team. And the best thing about it is just how committed the kids are to the sport, and how much fun they have participating in the sport on Wednesdays at training and on Saturdays, obviously.
When did you have your registration?
It generally happens in February. Typically, the week after the kids are back at school, we have what's called the muster, which is to try and get all the kids in. But we started training a little bit before that. We started training in the second week of January. The problem we have in New Zealand with football and a lot of sports is a lot of the sports parks are shared sports grounds, and you have to give up the sports ground to the cricket club because they have a 6-month season. And what we find is in Europe, and other parts of the world, they've got a lot more. Admittedly, there's a lot of countries that have a lot more money dedicated to the sport. For first and foremost, the Germanys and the Frances and the Englands and the Americas, and so they don't have that same issue. So what we're trying to do at Waiheke is, we've got some fantastic facilities, and thanks again to the council and the committee for providing the club rooms finally for the football club up at the sports park. What we have now is a great facility that we can use a lot longer in the year. So we try and run more in line with the European season, which is an 8-month long season where it's giving the kids as much exposure to the game as possible in a safe, friendly, fun environment. And it's a really, really rewarding activity, as I'm sure if you ask any of the parents or the players involved with the football club, it's great fun up there on Saturdays, and something we work very hard, and the football committee works very hard in maintaining, and there's a lot of people that are unsung heroes in that committee that keep that sports club alive. But we give well over 150 kids the opportunity to play the game on a weekly basis, and Fuller's again, I can't speak highly enough for their sponsorship and their support, in fact all of our sponsors, but Fuller's particularly with providing reduced fares so teams can come over and play on Waiheke at a reduced cost. So yeah, it's a very rewarding thing. It's great to be that part of the community in that way, and I get a lot out of it. I get more out of it than the time I put into it, I have to say.
That's great. Now, your registration this year, did you find that the numbers were more than last year?
Slightly up. It's quite funny. We share the facilities with the rugby club, and there's always a little bit of friendly co-opetition, I suppose, for players, but we're slightly up on last year on registrations, which is good, because obviously with the World Cup in 2011 we found we suffered a little bit that year with registrations because of the onflow effect of that event in New Zealand. That was understandable. But we have another senior men's team, well-supported senior men's team this year, which is great. So we've got teams playing at all levels, from 5-year-old kids through to, I'm not sure who the oldest is, I'll hazard a guess and say Christian Moy might be the oldest playing or subbed member of the senior men's team. I'm not going to tell them how old you are, Christian, if you're listening. So it's a great thing up there. And of course, the committee's worked very, very hard to make sure that where possible, the whole club plays at home on the same day. So if you go up there today, there was kids up there. I was up there this morning at 8:20, setting up, and now there's a whole stream of 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 17th grade teams playing right up to the senior men's team playing this afternoon, and indeed the senior women's will be playing down there tomorrow. So it's a great atmosphere down there on game days, and of course with the club rooms now, everybody gets a chance to have a comfortable place to sit in the shade, and if they need it, there's some tea and coffee down there now, and it's just a very good, a great sense of community. It's one of those things, I suppose. I'm sure you always get it at the beach races and what used to be the Christmas parade. Yeah. That I call it a dumb parental grin, but I call these ones a dumb community grin. Yeah. Where you get, you know, it's really warming to be involved in it at whatever level. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing about the island, the community as we slip into the winter sports, especially as the population settles back into the winter population of the island. It feels very snug and warm, and I enjoy it up there very much.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, as you say, the cooperation between different codes and whatever is great. I'm secretary of the rugby club,
yep.
And we've had a phenomenal turnout this year for kids at our registrations. We've got a lot of interest, but we're struggling a little bit with our senior team. Well, our only senior team is the under 85s, which is under 85 kg.
Yep.
And we've just got a team, but it would be great to have a few more along as backstops, or as it were.
Oh yeah, we'd welcome it. I think it was always
similar
great.
With your senior team.
This year we managed to get up to over 26 registered senior players, which is more than enough to field one team, and just short of being able to field two, which is a luxury we haven't had for a couple of years. Obviously, we did have a very successful men's team for a while. We got up pretty much as high as we could do before having to travel to places like Whangarei to compete. So we kind of stalled at that point. We had a lot of very good local players, and they were young, a lot of young guys. And I suppose the typical thing happened where, you know, they went out to see the world, and a lot of them moved to Auckland or further afield, and the senior men's team then dwindled a little bit. But we've got a great reinsurgence of people that are committed to the game, and you've got your old stalwarts in there, Nick from what was the Lazy Lounge, and a few of the old guard, along with really well run committees with the likes of Mike Gray, the current president, has been brilliant. Providing support for and trying to get the senior men's team. I think it's important for the kids, particularly, to see, you know, us playing at our age, that they understand that sport's for life. And I don't know what your experiences are, Jan, but in my experience, I've played sport right up to competitive football, right up until the age of 42, 43, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Played from the age of 5 right the way through. And whilst I've never been brilliant, I thoroughly enjoyed the exercise of playing. And what I really hope that we're instilling in both the rugby and the soccer clubs is that same approach to understanding that the game's not just about playing at the top level and watching it on TV. It's about getting out there and participating on a Saturday and sweating and getting injuries and throwing you back into it. And the same as and let's not forget the netball club either, because they do a fantastic job, and my daughter plays for the Dolphins, and that's brilliant, you know, having those kids go over every week to play over in Howick. But it's important for us adults to be out there playing, to show them that, you know, it's important and it's still fun to be playing at that level. And social sport, I think, we're lucky here in New Zealand with the facilities we have, but it's an important part of the community that we should all be demonstrating to our kids that you can get out there, whatever it is, riding horses, playing golf, tennis, football, rugby. We welcome a lot of it. What we're very lucky with, obviously, as you know, is the facilities we have down at Onitangi. The superb facilities down there, and we can train, you know, all year round, and we've got lights, and it's a great thing. So yeah, I thoroughly support all the clubs down there, and it's great that we've got such a good atmosphere down there now, and hopefully there's a few under 85s out there, 85 kilos, that can get out and make it a bit easier fielding a team.
Yeah, that would be great. We've got off the track a wee bit here, Andy.
Yep.
We're talking to Andy Durratt from Waiheke Event Hire, and we've just sidetracked into his another love of his life, the soccer team, the Honey Badgers that he coaches. But the main purpose of your being here is to talk about the Waiheke Event Hire that you've got.
Yep.
And just remind us again what you provide.
So we provide free-form stretch marquees of various sizes, but also tables, chairs, lights, All of the general linen, all the general infrastructure required to host an event, either in one of our marquees or not. Obviously, one of the key things that we've found is our chairs have been very popular already, so renting those out an awful lot. So it's really just to provide, the purpose of the business is to provide the infrastructure required to host an event on the island from one supplier. So it's one throat to choke. It's one simple call. I need to have this many people in this type of configuration, and we do the rest.
Okay, and how do people contact you?
Through the website, so www.waihekieeventhire.co.nz, or on my mobile, which is 022-380-7402, or just use the Contact Us page on the website. We're always on the lookout for those emails coming in, and always happy to come and have a chat about your requirements and understand what you need from us and help you run a successful event.
Excellent. Now, also on the website there is information about the promotion that you're running,
yep.
Which is win your same-sex wedding on Waiheke Island.
Yep.
When does that close off?
Oh, you caught me on the hop now. I'm going to get told off by my partner, Debbie, that she's the marketing brains behind the whole thing. We're looking to run it certainly past when the bill is actually announced. My understanding is in a couple of months we'll close it off and select a winner. But you've got me in huge trouble now, Jan.
Debbie's going to get me. It'll be on the website.
Though. It is on the website, yeah. So all the terms and conditions and everything else are on the website, yeah. It's just, I hope we went from start to start faster in a very short period of time. Yeah. So we're still, we got our website, for example, up and running in about 2.5 weeks, which is anybody that's ever done that.
Wow.
They understand just how much work's been put into that. But yeah, please check the competition pages on the website. That's got all the details. But what we really want is a lot of local same-sex couples. If you're interested in having a free ceremony, please do register. Please do enter the competition, because we'd really appreciate.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andy, for coming in. We've been talking to Andy Durratt of Waiheke Event Hire, and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much, Jan. Thank you very much for having the call, on the show, and appreciate it.
A pleasure.
Thank you.